first reading is from the 20th chapter of Jeremiah. Jeremiah accuses God of forcing him into a ministry that brings him only contempt and persecution. Yet Jeremiah is confident that God will be a strong protector against his enemies and commits his life into God's hands. O Lord, you have enticed me, and I was enticed. You have overpowered me, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I must cry out. I must shout. Violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am wearying with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering. Terror is all around. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. All my close friends are watching for me to stumble. Sorry. Perhaps he can be enticed, and we can prevail against him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble, and they will not prevail. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, you test the righteous. You see the heart and the mind. Let me see your retribution upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. For he has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of the evildoers. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Go to the second reading.
Yes.
The second reading is from the sixth chapter of Romans. In baptism, we were incorporated into the reality of Christ's death and resurrection. We have been made new in Christ through his death and resurrection to live freed from sin. Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin, once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. The Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Jesus warns his disciples that their ministry in his name will meet with opposition. However, he assures them that they need not fear, for the truth will come out to the light. Life is found in Christ. Jesus said to the disciples, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So, have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than the many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. The demonstrations and riots and looting of the past several weeks, the difficulties over racism and all of the other things that compound the pandemic already in process have pointed to a fact that is rather disturbing for all of us. And that is that we humans have a tendency to not listen to one another and not pay attention to what's happening, and therefore we take sides. We have the political parties at one another's throats. We have all of the different groups that are fighting one another at one another's throats. And it makes you throw up your hands and ask, well, whose side are you really on? I've talked about my uncle Orville before. He was 4 years older than me. We used to, when we were kids, we played a lot together. And one day, I was 6 years old, and he invited me to join his group in fighting the war to end all wars. We were well-stocked. We had machine guns, we had bazookas, we had grenades, we had every arsenal that you could ask for. And we got the battle going. Well, as often happens, we started running out of ammo. Now, since I'm the youngest and the smallest, they sent me through the enemy lines to find more ammo. Now, I was able to sneak through. I was very narrow because there were a lot of enemy over there. But I got through them, and I got to the storage area where we kept our ammo, and I was filling up my bag with all of the things I needed to take back. And just then, a guard came and said, "What's the password?" Now, my uncle had told me what the password was. But at that moment, I couldn't even remember my own name. And I just stuttered. And he said, "Okay, whose side are you on?" And I said, "Orville's." Well, it wasn't the password, but it got me through. Well, I don't know what the password is, but the question is the same question that we're going to ask today. Whose side are you on? I remember reading something about Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War when all of that battling was going on. And one of his aides said, "Mr. President, I sure hope God is on our side." And Abraham Lincoln's response was, "I'm not worried about that, as much as I want to make certain that we are on God's side." That's the most important thing for us to remember in all of the controversy and all of the other problems around the world. Are we on God's side? God calls us to be His people. And in order to do that, we really better know what God's will is. Not only for that moment, but for all of life. What is God calling us to be? One of the problems that Jeremiah had in the time of Judah was in an idolatrous situation where they had turned to other gods, they had turned to other nations to make treaties that they were told they were not to make treaties with. And Jeremiah constantly badgers the leaders and the king and the religious leaders, because the religious leaders in that day have gotten to the point where they want to tell the king what he wants to hear, which isn't what God wanted them to hear. In fact, just before the first reading that we have today, Jeremiah has confronted the priest who has been the advisor to the king and told him, unless you change your way, unless we change the way the nation is being run, we're going to go down the tube and our enemy is going to conquer us. Babylon will come and destroy this nation. And for that, he got slapped and thrown in stocks. Now, if you know the life of Jeremiah, sometimes he's referred to as the weeping prophet, because he really didn't want to be a prophet. But he's the one who has heard the voice of God and looked at the situation and realizes the way the nation is going is not the way God wants it to go. And when he tells it, he ends up being thrown in prison. He gets thrown in a well. He gets beaten. He gets all kinds of horrible things happen to him just because he is declaring the word of God, and this is it. This is not just my word. This is the word of God. Now, if you know the rest of the story, exactly what happened, what Jeremiah said is what happened. Nebuchadnezzar came down from Babylon, conquered the nation, destroyed the city, carried off a large portion of the educated people off into Babylon in exile. He put a puppet government in place, and that lasted for about 10 years, and then they began to rebel again. They were not listening to what Jeremiah said. They were listening to what they wanted to hear. That's the difficult thing. So often we choose sides based upon what we want to hear rather than what God wants us to hear. And as a result of that rebellion, Nebuchadnezzar comes again, destroys the city, ultimately destroys the temple, wipes it out so that you couldn't even today, they don't know where the Holy of Holies is or was. That's why many good Jews will not go up on the Temple Mount. They don't know that they might be stepping in a place they shouldn't go. But God's word was fulfilled. It was hard. There is a book by Joyce Founder who said, it's called The Balcony People. And she says there are basically two types of people in the world. There are the basement people who drag people down to the pits and make them feel bad. And then there are the balcony people who lift people up. And she points to St. Paul and says that St. Paul reminds us that we are to be crucified with Christ so that we can be raised with Christ. We are to crucify sin. Sin and the lies of the world need to go down into the pit so that new life and new hope can come forward. When Jesus sends out his disciples, he doesn't sugarcoat it for them. Basically, he says, I'm going to send you out like sheep among wolves. It's not going to be nice. It's not going to be easy. But this is what you're sent out to do. To be hope to a world that has lost hope. To give life where there is no life. Jesus says, many times. Don't worry about it. I'll be with you. In fact, here's how much God cares about you. Every hair on your head is even counted. Remember, I told last week about this cartoon about Charlie Brown building birdhouses for sparrows because he always stuck up for the underbird. That was exactly what Jesus is telling his disciples. God will stick up for you. There's another cartoon that followed that in which Charlie Brown is standing in front of his teacher and he says, "My report is on Africa." And then he gets really nervous and he says, well, it was supposed to be on Africa. I just never got around to writing it. And then he gets down on his knees and he says, "I throw myself at the mercy of the court." Well, that's where we are. We have sinned and fallen short of the grace of God. We fall at the feet of the Lord, knowing that He has already lifted us up and wants to lift us up. But the important thing is to remember whose side we are on. Are we on the side of God? Or are we expecting God to be on our side, doing things our way? God calls us to be His people in a world that doesn't really want to live by God's message. A world that is lost. And a world that needs our help in picking them up, taking them out of the basement and into the balcony of God's love. That, for my friends, is God's good news for us today. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding,